Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today in Ypsilanti, Michigan, where they used to make Fords. But they don't anymore.
Is that anywhere near Ann Arbor?
It's about 5 miles, 6 miles from Ann Arbor. About okay. 6 miles from the arena. Girardi says to me, Girardi has a car. He flew from Trenton to Detroit for just $78 on beautiful Frontier Airlines.
And he landed at the correct airport?
He's the airport they sent him to.
Usually on those discounted flights, you're never quite sure if you're going to land at the correct airport or not. It's kind of a crapshoot there.
Well, really, you know, I can always rent a car. I really don't care in the end, as long as it lands safely and I can walk off the flight. I mean, I told you the Ed DeCello story about going into Huntington, West Virginia. This is back in, I want to say 1992 or 3 or 4 or something like that. And we're coming into land, and we're being thrown all over the place. It's right on that mountain, West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky all intersect, okay? And we're coming into land, and we're getting thrown everywhere. We're in Ohio. Now we're in Kentucky. Now we're back in West Virginia. And the pilot does a brilliant job and gets us down and a nice, in the end, nice smooth landing. But there's so much wind, he brings the plane around, and he parks the plane and turns it off. There's so much wind that the plane is buffeting back and forth, back and forth. So in order to get off the plane, you have to grab seat to seat to seat to just kind of make steady yourself going up. And I looked over at Ed, who was an assistant coach at the time, and I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm all right. I said, are you sure? Are you all right? He goes, yeah, I'm okay. Look, hey, any flight that lands is a good one. I looked at him, I said, Eddie, they all land. That didn't help his psyche at all. Kevin knows how that feels.
Yeah, it does not help your psyche. I can relate to that. Hey, James Franklin.
I never help your psyche.
No, not at all. But James Franklin made the rounds this morning on all the talk shows, including Dan Patrick here on WKOK this morning.
Well, look, you're going to expect to hear a lot more of that. He's going to be on talk shows all the time. He is the consummate 41-year-old CEO, where he understands that the role that media plays in getting the message out there. He understands that. So he's not going to be one that's going to avoid being on a show. He's not going to avoid being, if he sees an opportunity to get out there so he can then promote the brand of Penn State football, he's going to get out there and promote the brand of Penn State football. And that's one of the bigger reasons why he has coordinators and assistant coaches. They take care of a lot of things, and he pushes them hard while working hard himself, but also he carves out that time to make sure that he's doing interviews. So, yeah, he was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he was on a lot. He was actually on a couple of other national shows today as well, as was Bill O'Brien, as a matter of fact, talking about the Houston Texans. So there's a lot of things, you know. I know people are going to want to talk. And, by the way, we're being brought to you today by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. If price and service mean something to you, Kratzer Insurance is your group. Because you're talking about a group that served the Valley for more than 50 years. Auto, home, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. So there, okay? A lot of people are going to probably want to talk about Larry Johnson. And Larry Johnson has been hired as the defensive line coach at Ohio State.
That's the other school.
A lot of people are probably... we'll get some calls today about loyalty, disloyalty, and so forth at 800-795-6. That is 800-795-9565.
Steve,
all right? Steve, and if you'd like to jump in.
Steve, I think you're going to have the best announcing job in college football with James Franklin as the head coach. I think he's not going to run from an interview. He's not going to hide from a question. He's going to make your job so much fun because his enthusiasm just it's all inspiring, frankly. I was shocked when I listened to his press conference. That guy was moving people to tears.
Well, the one part that got me, though, is when he said he was going to go all over the state and be everywhere. And he said, we'll even go to birthday parties and blow up balloons.
I got him booked.
At that point, I sat back. And said to myself, the phone is going to be ringing. It's going to be James Franklin. Hey, Steve, I committed to this birthday party. What does your schedule look like?
and please bring the helium tank with you.
Yeah, I already tried to get on his calendar for the next party so he could be there to blow up balloons.
You know, he is a true Pennsylvanian. Yeah. And you know, at East Stroudsburg, the Warriors played in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. He traveled all over the state. But when he said that remark, I don't think he realized how vast the wide range of the Commonwealth truly is, from Erie to Philadelphia, from Honesdale to Waynesburg, and every place in between. This is a vast state. And you know what? There are lots of birthday parties. And so I think, Steve...
Yeah, there are. And it,
guess where you're going?
Yeah, there are. So obviously, yeah, something tells me that I'm going to be doing all of them. So... the other part, too, is that one area that he needs to shore up for Penn State, and I talked about this before, is Western Pennsylvania. Joe Paterno and his staff did a great job in Western Pennsylvania, Tom Bradley in particular. They always seem to get, for the most part, the guys that they wanted. And Bill O'Brien and his staff struggled a bit working in that area. And that's what is the concern, that Western Pennsylvania was an area that Penn State had not yet been able to get inroads so they could get recruits out of there. That'll be an area that James Franklin and his staff, I'll bet they'll work hard in that area there and open it back up again.
Well, I think he'll do well in the Philadelphia area as well, coming out of Langhorne. There's lots of talent down in the city of brotherly love and its environments, and not all of it has come Penn State's way. So I think that's
a really
good area as well. But Western Pennsylvania, he did lay down the gauntlet, Steve, didn't he, when he said, we're going to dominate? Oh, boy.
Sure he did. Well, I mean, he said, no, we'll dominate the state. That's fine. I mean, I don't want a coach to come in there and look around at everybody and say, we'll get our fair share of guys.
Yeah, we'll do okay.
No, you won't, dog. You're going to go out. You want to tell me you want to dominate the state? Go ahead and do it. I'm all for you.
See, that's what I liked about it when I was listening to the news conference. He's answering questions directly, and they're not soft answers. It's firm. Here's what we're going to do, and here's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly, and that's fine. And I think he'll do extremely well.
We're going to run out of scholarships.
I mean, he knows,
don't you think, Steve?
Well, that's become an interesting thing as well about what the scholarship numbers happen to be. Now, he's allowed to offer next year the full boat of 25 scholarships, and he can have a year from now a 80 scholarship players on the team. He has 75 this year, 80 next year, and 85 the year after. So that's where he's going to stand. So he'll be able to allow the full complement of 25 scholarships next year.
It seems like he's already given about 40 offers out since he came in town on Saturday, though. He's just been what it appears, and I don't think it's reality, but it sounds like he's just been everywhere, every place, contacting talented athletes and offering. I don't think that's the case, but it sure seems that way.
No, they've been going after it because there's a couple things that have to happen here along the way. You know, he has to shore up what Penn State's already recruited. He has to fill in the gaps for other guys that certainly will be ones that he'll need to fill out. And also he's looking at 15 and 16 recruits as well. So that's what he's looking at this particular stage. It's just a full complement across the board as to what he needs to do with recruiting. It's the lifeblood of anything. And now he's got at least a staff. You know, they're going to announce all – people are wondering, what about the staff? He's going to announce all the staff guys at once. Everything at once. So it isn't going to be like, hey, we've named two guys here, two guys there. No, they're just going to do the whole thing at one time, and that's how he's going to do it.
Sounds like a rather appropriate way to do it rather than the dribs and drabs, and let everybody know who's on the team, and there they are all at once.
And that was my point about Larry. I mean, Larry was offered a position to be with Penn State football. He was offered his job as the defensive line coach. He decided not to do it. He decided he wanted to go someplace else. And I know some people have had a little trouble with my attitude about it, because my attitude has been, I really don't worry about who's not here. I worry about who's here. I like who he has here.
Yeah, I think the big thing that the media, Steve, is looking to find out is what's going to happen, if anything. Will Ron Vanderlinden be offered a position on his staff? You know, there's been a lot of speculation about that. They were friends. Ron was his mentor at the University of Maryland. He left, resigned, you know, right at the end of Bill O'Brien's tenure. What's going to happen there? I think a lot of people in the media and the fan base is really interested to see what announcement, if any, will come from that.
If I were you, I would go to the Vanderbilt website and check out who was on the staff at Vanderbilt.
That's true.
And then I would start changing them over to Penn State names. That would be my hint.
I think we've already heard some of that, actually, already.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's the way it's going to go. I know, they had great success together. They work well together. And because they work well together, that's important. No. There's certainly people that are in the building that are going to keep their jobs. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes to the actual coaching part of it, recruiting coordinators, things like that, I think it's obviously going to be the guys that he's worked with and has been with now, 3 years? I don't think they had any changes in Vanderbilt in 3 years.
By the way, Steve, it looks as if Chris Ash and Larry Johnson are going to be on the defensive staff at Ohio State now, according to CBS.
Well, Chris Ash is going to go in as the co-defensive coordinator with Luke Fickell. They hired him away from the Arkansas staff. So, yeah, I already knew that. Doggone CBS. They give you a lot of old information, don't they, Kev?
All right. Why don't they have you work for them? It would save me a lot of time and effort.
You just cut out the middleman.
It's old info, babe. All right.
What's coming up?
Today's show brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years. Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. If service and price means something to you, you know it means something to them. Coming up next, Kevin explains his life.
Award-winning news. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones with you. Bob Buter, Kevin Herr alongside, although we're all going to be on the road tonight. I'm here in Ann Arbor. Bob, you're headed to where?
I'm going to the North Country to Towanda with a compass, a map. We're going to do some Shikellamy wrestling at 7:06 on WKOK.com. I'll be back. I'll be back in civilization in about 3 days trying to get home from Towanda tonight.
Well done.
Yeah, it's way up in the North Country.
So much for our numbers in the Northern Tier. Oh. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate that.
Actually, I know that very well. My father grew up near there.
Whereabouts?
My father, LaRaysville.
Okay, sure.
LaRaysville and Warren Center is where my father grew up, on the farm. So you're going to be in Towanda. I'm in Ann Arbor, and Kevin will be at an area having several adult beverages. Okay, so we're just about set.
My question for you, Steve, is you're in Ann Arbor for a big basketball game. Can you give us a bit of a preview of what you're going to see tonight at the University of Michigan?
Well, Penn State is a team that, when it comes to talent and the coaching part of it, they're fine. The problem is they've got to find some confidence here somewhere and realize that in certain situations they need to step up and be better. And that's what they have to do. That is a big part of this. And tonight they need their stars to step up and be stars. They need to have DJ Newbill and Tim Frazier make their averages. They average between them about 35, 36 points a game. They'll need 35, 36 points tonight out of each of them. You need your stars to be your stars. And after that, one other person needs to step up for them, and they need to play solid defense against this team. Nick Stauskas. Now, I give him a lot of credit because this is a guy who has really been able to transform his game, and by transforming his game has made himself into a really good player. A year ago when he started out as a freshman, he stood out there by the three-point line, and Trey Burke fed him and fed him and fed him. When the conference started, Big Ten teams, of course, in their scouting, catch on to this stuff right away. And his three-point numbers went down. And when his three-point numbers went down, he then started driving the ball more to the basket. And in the offseason, he added that mid-range game, drive the ball to the basket. Now he's a really good all-around player. He not only leads the team in scoring and in three-point percentage, but he also leads Michigan in assists. Jordan Morgan's the big man, of course, in the middle for them. Mitch McGarry's out for the season after back surgery. And you have Glenn Robinson III, who's an acrobatic highlight reel act in every game he plays in. In the backcourt, good backcourt. Derek Walton, the freshman, good player, good distributor. And also Karis LeVert, who's really improved his offensive game this year. And they have Zach Irvin, who comes off the bench and gives them some instant offense, and John Horford, who gives them some defense, and Spike Albrecht, who had 17, amazingly, in the first half against Louisville in the national championship game, comes off the bench. He has not come close to duplicating that 17. So it's a pretty even matchup on paper. Michigan's the home team, and that's going to give them an advantage, no question. But Penn State stars need to be their stars tonight. They need to step up and play really, really well and meet their averages. That will give Penn State a much better chance of winning. That's 8 o'clock tonight. We're on at 7:30.
Steve, we've got a couple of email questions for you at stevejones@wkk.com.
We're done.
Carol said she's heard that some players who Coach Franklin has recruited have made verbal commitments to Vanderbilt are now coming to Penn State. I believe there's three of them right now that have been been talked about. And she would like to know, she said part of the recruiting process has always been input from the current team, and if a potential recruit seemed to the current players that he would not be a good fit for the team, would the coaches take that into consideration? What do you think will be the response of the current players if a handful of Coach Franklin's Vanderbilt recruits come to Penn State with no input or review by the current team?
It's a really good question, but I think this is a case where they have to be able to trust the coaching staff. I mean, there does get to a point where, look, he's known the current players at Penn State for 72 hours, less than that, 48 hours, mm-hmm. 48 hours. He had a 25-minute meeting with them 48 hours ago. So this is going to have to be judgment, preseason player. That process only really starts once coach and player group have been together a while. It worked great at Penn State all those years with Joe because it was always all those years with Joe and the staff never turned over. For Bill O'Brien, it was catch as catch can, but then after a year of being with the players, he then trusted their judgments because he knew the players as to how they felt about certain kids. When you're first on the job, you really don't know even your own team yet. So you have to really go with your own gut instinct as to how you want to do it and what kind of positional balance you want as well. So that works, I think, once people have been together at least a year. It's really hard for it to work when the head coach doesn't know the current players, let alone, and the current players are going to know the recruits either.
Yep. I'm sorry, Bob, got another quick question
for you, Steve.
As well. As you suggested, or as you mentioned earlier, you thought you'd hear something about Larry Johnson. Kevin emails that he thinks Larry Johnson should have taken a couple of more days to let the dust settle to talk to alumni and current players. He thinks the move with Ohio State was in place but not accepted before he knew if James Franklin wanted him to stay. Also said that he thought it was thought it would be a little more removed from the head coaching job and wouldn't begrudge LJ from going to Ohio State for promotion, but not necessarily the same job.
Right, and it is the same job. I mean, what happened is Mike Vrabel had been the defensive line coach at Ohio State, and he was hired, ironically, by Bill O'Brien to be the linebacking coach with the Houston Texans. So that's what opened the door. So, yeah, Urban Meyer got in touch with him and see if he wanted to go to Ohio State. It turned out that he wanted to go to Ohio State. And, you know, is it a lateral move? Of course it's a lateral move. This is not a coordinator's move or anything like that. And in the end, I can tell you right now, not being a coordinator is something that has hurt and will hurt Larry Johnson in going for head coaching jobs. You don't go from a middle management job to the CEO job. You know, and you skip over all the vice presidents that were in front of you. This is not how it works. You know, it's rare. Like, I know somebody will point out John Harbaugh, who was the special teams coach with the Eagles, and then all of a sudden, boom, he jumps up and he's the head coach of the Ravens. That's worked out well. But most times, especially in college, that's not how it goes. Is it a lateral move? Yes, it's a lateral move. Does he probably feel he has to finally get out of state college? Yeah, he probably does. That's fine. And look, he goes there, that's fine. And I have always been the type where I really don't worry about somebody who doesn't want to be there. I just worry about the people who want to be there. Well, they've got a group of people that really want to be there, and so let's watch them coach.
That finishes off the email bag, but you can send it in to Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Toll-free line open, 800-795-9565. Also available on Facebook.
Steve, the one thing that surprised me was on Sunday night he had a meeting with the players that lasted approximately 25 minutes. It seems like it takes him a good 25 minutes, James Franklin, that is, to get really warmed up and firing away. I mean, he does hit the ground running, but I was surprised by the brevity of that meeting. I think it must have been just a hi, how are you, we'll talk later kind of a meeting, you know, with some other things involved. But I was thinking, boy, he's going to meet with the players. That'll be a couple hours, and it was 25 minutes.
No, I don't think it has to be that long. I mean, you know, this is not like a Castro speech, okay, where it's like, all right.
Great reference.
You get up there what he did was very simple. And you have to remember, you don't need long meetings to communicate. And I'm a perfect example of that because I can't stand meetings. I can't stand them.
Shocker.
I sit there and go, why don't you want to be in this meeting? Because I want to go back to work.
Let's see, meetings, phone calls, discussions. Yeah, that pretty much covers it.
Yeah. You sound so bitter.
I don't know why.
I mean, do you know how bad you come off?
Ouch.
I mean, really, you know, you sound bitter. I just spoke for everybody up and down the valley. Is there anybody outside of middle management that loves meetings? Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, you know, I mean, they're just trying to justify their jobs. I mean, so, come on. It's a 25-minute meeting. He got up and introduced himself, told them that, look, you know, don't stand there and ask me at all about offensive and defensive system. We fit systems to personnel. He then had each one of the players get up and introduce themselves. He says, and anybody that was recruited by Vanderbilt is going to start from the bottom of the depth chart. To which Zwinak raised his hand. All right. He also did reiterate to them that is a dream job for him. That, you know, all this stuff about he had four different NFL teams get in contact with him. He said he didn't want to talk to them. This is the job he wanted. So he did tell them all that along the way.
Steve, I did some research on James Franklin while he was quarterbacking East Stroudsburg in the early 90s. And he, against the biggest rival that East Stroudsburg had, which is Bloomsburg, he was 4-0. The last year he quarterbacked, they walloped the Huskies 42-10, and it wasn't that close. So the guy at the Division II level was a player, and he had incredible success winning and for a very good program at East Stroudsburg back then. But undefeated against the Huskies, very few quarterbacks could say that.
He's a pusher, a hard driver. He does all that. He expects results, but he's also a people person on top of it. He does look at it. He says he looks at his players as another 105 sons. Well, that's fine. Now, the players are going to get a chance to talk about all this tomorrow, including Christian Hackenberg. We hope to have some comments from Christian Hackenberg on the show tomorrow.
What is going on that's causing that, Steve?
I think people just want to hear from the players as to their new coach. That's standard practice.
Okay.
Steve, I want to go back.
I mean, that's all it is. I mean, Hackenberg's one of like 8 or 9 players talking tomorrow.
I want to go back to something you were just talking about, Steve, and with Coach Franklin and a conversation that he had today.
Your attitude?
The conversation he had with Dan Patrick when he asked him this question. I really liked the answer to this.
You said it's your dream job. Kind of dangerous territory there, James, when we realize coaches don't stay places forever. This is your dream job.
It's dangerous if you don't mean it. You know, a lot of coaches throw that out there and they don't mean it. I mean, I think you know I had some opportunities to interview a bunch of different places and canceled those interviews and turned them down. This school, I think, has everything that a young man is looking for. You get a great education. You got a chance to play really big-time football, a chance to compete at the very highest level. This fan base is amazing. I've been around campus. I went to the ice hockey game the other night, and the passion for Penn State and the pride for Penn State is unreal. I'd love to be here as long as I possibly can be. And that's about graduating players number one, about winning games number two, and then number three, having a real positive impact in this community. And that's what we're going to do.
He seems to find the right answer for everything right now, Steve. Is it just the honeymoon phase, or is this just the way he is?
No, it's the way it is. Let me tell you something just quickly. It's only a first impression because I only spent a few minutes alone with him on Saturday. But let me give you something that out of that I think will help everybody with his answers. He is the same guy away from the podium that he is at the podium. Okay? Simple as that. He's the same guy. That's not up there. That's not an act. That's not rehearsed. The same guy that you saw up there is the same guy off. And he has a genuine enthusiasm for this whole thing. I think he looks out and he sees 107,000-seat stadium, passionate fan base that's been through a lot, a place like Kaluba Hall, Lash Building, weight room, the improvements that have been made there, practice fields, 160 different majors, a university that has a great reputation like Vanderbilt for not only getting players but graduating players. And I think that that whole mix is something that he really, really likes and energizes him. So I don't think it's the honeymoon phase. I think what you hear is what you get.
Steve, the thing that really concerned me, because Kevin being Kevin, when Kevin saw the picture of James Franklin at Rec Hall and Cale Sanderson was a few feet away and Dave Joyner was a few feet away, I have this great fear that Kevin will shave his head to emulate the three. It worries me.
I'm already halfway there now, so it's really not going to be a big move for there.
That was a great picture in Rec Hall at the wrestling match, and the ovation that James Franklin got at halftime when he came out on the mat was just astounding.
Well, actually, he was about to leave after he was introduced. And Dave Joyner said, he says, just stay for this next one, okay? All right. He goes, okay. So he sat down. It was David Taylor. He said, basically, this isn't going to take long. All right.
2 minutes and 47 seconds.
And it didn't. Yeah. So coming up, we're going to talk about Maryland's countersuit against the ACC. It'll be another segment where we inform Kevin. We'll come up with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrotzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. The University of Maryland filing a $157 million countersuit against the ACC, raising a new allegation that the conference tried to recruit at least two unnamed Big Ten universities after learning that Maryland had an intent to leave the ACC and join the Big Ten on July 1st. According to documents obtained Tuesday from Maryland, the Maryland Attorney General's office, Wake Forest and Pitt tried to recruit at least two Big Ten schools to the ACC. Gee, I wonder what one of them was. The Maryland Attorney General's office called that move a competitive reaction to Maryland's departure. While not necessarily illegal, their argument is that it was hypocritical of the ACC to try and impede Maryland's departure with a $52.3 million exit fee and then turn around and recruit schools from the very same conference that Maryland is headed to. Let's see. Maryland's countersuit last January, but a judge ruled the decision should be stayed pending the outcome of a North Carolina case. Maryland's main argument is documented in the most recent countersuit has been the ACC took steps designed to deny Maryland athletic, academic, and financial benefits that Maryland expected to derive from joining the Big Ten and to penalize Maryland in its decision to leave the ACC. And that Pitt and Wake Forest stepped up and tried to recruit certain schools, two of them in the Big Ten, to leave and go to the ACC. Gee, I wonder what one of them might have been.
Well, it could be close by.
Yeah.
It could be real close
could
by.
Could be.
Well, you know, that lawsuit to me doesn't have, by Maryland, is bogged down by one little problem they have, Steve, is that Maryland signed a contract with the ACC that had certain provisions in it that if they left, there were certain consequences, and it's basically an interpretation of contract law. And usually...
no question, yeah. But I think...
Go ahead.
I think they're just doing this to get them to back the number down. That's
exactly.
What I think
this is a negotiating ploy designed to, I'll say it this way, increase the price of poker for the ACC.
Right. I think they'd like to get the $52.3 million down to $25 to $30 million and save themselves, you know, yeah, $20-plus million in all this.
Can't blame them.
I think
them.
By filing this countersuit, right, and they must have some evidence somewhere that Wake Forest and Pitt were attempting to tamper. How about that?
Well, but that's, of in my legal opinion, of questionable worth. I mean, so what? They tried to do it. I don't think it has anything to affect the lawsuit. But it's a ploy. It's a technique trying to, again, reduce that cost.
Oh, it's a
cost.
Ploy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, it's a ploy. It's all it is. Today's show being brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. If price and service means something to you, it means everything to them. Homeowners, business, auto, life insurance. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I have basketball tonight. Bob has wrestling tonight. Kevin has a trip to Brewers Outlet.
And
we'll take your calls coming up next hour.
And Steve Williams and I on our dog sleds.
News, weather, business, and CBS.